Father, we praise you for those promises you have given us. We are standing on them, and as we do, we cannot fall. That verse says, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. We are here today as believers, a body in Christ, the church, this local fellowship, standing on those promises. We believe you. We believe what you have said. We believe what you have promised. We know what you have told us about Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross those many years ago. It was for us. He died to save us from our sins, to pay the penalty we deserved so we could go free. Father, we praise you for the new life that he has given us by the Holy Spirit, all the promises he has fulfilled, and all of them will be fulfilled that we are waiting for. He's going to come back in the clouds and take us home. It could be before the service is done. It could be later today, this week, we don't know. But he's coming, and he will take us home. We praise you for that moment, for that day that's coming, and we live for that moment and pray for him to come. We thank you that we will be with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that we will reign with him those 1,000 years, and that we will see you make all things new, new heavens, new earth, in which there is no sin, no suffering, no struggle anymore. The joy and the glory that you have promised us is coming, and we thank you that today we're one day closer. Father, we praise you that you've given us your word to teach us and to guide us, to help us to know you better and to follow your way. We praise you for Pastor and the ministry he will bring in just minutes as he proclaims the message to us. We pray that you would fill him with your Spirit and speak through him. Thank you that we can use our voices to worship together and to praise your name and to encourage one another as we fellowship afterwards when we are talking with one another after the service. We praise you for every element of this morning, and we pray that as this hour progresses, you will be glorified, your name lifted high, the gospel proclaimed, and to see people, if anyone here doesn't know you, we pray that they will know how to be saved and that they would respond before the service is over, and for those of us who are believers, that we'll be strengthened and drawn closer to you. We commit all these things to you and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that is Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taking with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and beseeched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had a regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said to him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join yourself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for your word that gives us so much indication of what you desire for us to do. May we truly follow the teachings of your word and obey you in every aspect of our lives, that we might be pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sins, from giving us eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, for your wonderful grace and mercy, and for all the blessings that we enjoy so much. We do want to pray this morning, our Father, for each one of us, that we might be effective witnesses in this world in which we live, by the way we live and by the words we speak. May we not be ashamed to speak forth the word of God to those who need to hear it. We thank you so much, our Father, for your great love to us, and pray that we would love you and love one another and serve you faithfully. We just pray that you'll give us wisdom and understanding as we live in this world today. So many things are confusing, our Father. We hear so many different things, and we wonder what is true and what is not. And we need to make sure that we are understanding the truth. May we follow the teachings of your word and be faithful to you. Forgive us of our failures, our sins, and help us, our Father, to walk in fellowship with you and with one another, and to seek the benefit of each and every one. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn once again to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Last week, we spoke about Stephen, the first person to be chosen as a deacon, who also became the first one to die for Christ in the early church, to show forth his love for the Lord in giving his life for his sake. It says here in the last verse of chapter 7, it says, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Notice that. The way that's expressed. He just went to sleep. You know? And once we're in Christ, we don't die. We have eternal life. But he just went to sleep. And he went to be, his soul went to be with the Lord. Now, Philip is the one we're speaking about today. Philip the Evangelist, he's called. And he is listed right after Stephen as one of the original seven deacons chosen to care for the widows in the church. There were seven of them altogether, and he's the second one mentioned. So when Stephen was killed, a great persecution was started against the church, and the believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Let's look back at for a moment in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I believe it is. Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now we know they had been in Jerusalem up until this time, right? Preaching the gospel, reaching people with the truth of God's word. And now they're going into the second stage, out into Judea and Samaria, and eventually to the ends of the earth. But here it says that there was a great persecution that was scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. They were there as the leaders of the church, and they stayed there. But all the other believers were scattered abroad, and they went forth preaching the gospel. Notice in verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now these were just the Christians, the believers, and yet as they went, they shared the gospel with others. Now I don't think they all got up behind a pulpit or anything like that, but just in their everyday life, whatever they were doing, they were spreading the good news of salvation, talking about the Lord, and reaching out to others, telling them that they needed to be saved. And so we find here the word of God is going out. And Saul, who becomes, of course, Paul later, but Saul of Tarsus is the one leading in this great persecution. He's taking people into custody, putting them in prison. It says in verse 3, Saul made havoc of the church. So that's like tearing something to pieces, like a wild animal, destroying someone. He was a very zealous person who believed he was doing right, and yet he was doing so much evil. Later on, of course, he regretted that, And he said that he was the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church. So anyway, we find here this great persecution going on. And did you see what happened? Because of the persecution, the people couldn't stay there anymore, or they would be arrested, they would be harassed, and so they moved out. And what happened then? The gospel spread into other areas. You know, they say, what is it? If I can get it right now. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, right? It sows the seed far and wide as people are suffering. As long as you're comfortable, you know. These people were probably content to stay there in Jerusalem, to sit back and drink their iced tea and whatever else they might have, right? But anyhow, we find here now they're going out. And Philip was one of them that could no longer stay in Jerusalem, perform his ministry. So he too left, and he went down to Samaria. You know, Samaria had been at one time the capital city of Israel. And now Philip is going there to proclaim the gospel. Verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. See, he's spreading the message about the Lord Jesus. Philip was one who had an open mind and heart. He was not bigoted like many of the other disciples. You remember the story. I think Steve mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. About Simon Peter, when he was up on the rooftop, you remember, and the Lord put down the animals in front of him, and he said, you know, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, oh, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. You know, he was preparing him to go. Well, we'll get to it later. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, because that's coming later in the book of Acts. But anyway, it won't hurt to repeat it. At any rate, we find Philip was more open-minded than the Apostle Peter at the beginning, right? He was willing to go to these Samaritans, these half-breeds that were hated by the Jewish people, usually. There was a lot of prejudice, bigotry going on back then between them because they were a mixed breed. They were not pure Jews. They were mixed together with other races, other kinds of people. And so anyhow, Philip is willing to go and proclaim the gospel to them. And notice it says that they all accepted what he had to say. Well, that's great, isn't it? Here he going to this major city, preaching the gospel, and they actually receive it. Wow, that's something. And they all with one accord listened to what he had to say, and they started watching the things he was doing at that time, of course, in the early church. They had the gifts to be able to do some of these miracles and healings, just like the Lord Jesus had done. And so this convinced them that he was telling the truth. And so many of them were saved. And it says in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. So they are rejoicing in this newfound faith that they have in Christ. And Philip. Philip is preaching the gospel to them. It says in another place, it says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. This is what Philip was doing. He wasn't proclaiming anything about himself, but about Christ and what he can do for you. And the Holy Spirit allowed him to make these miracles and signs so that the people would listen and believe. So the results was, as I said, great joy, also victory over Satan. Notice this part. There was a certain man, verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, who before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. This is called Simon the Magician or Simon the Sorcerer. And there's some kind of controversy about whether this man was really saved or not. He made a profession of faith and was baptized, but was he really saved? We don't know, because we find later when Peter and John come down to see what's going on there in Samaria and to help, and to they laid their hands on the people and they received the Holy Spirit. Now this is, you know, that was the way it was done then. It's interesting to find in these early days there were different methods that people seemed to receive the Holy Spirit. And here, for some reason, God wanted the apostles to be the ones to administer this rite. And so anyhow, they did. And we find here that he, along with the others, accepted this. He said he believed, and he was baptized. But then later, when he sees that when Peter and John lay their hands on somebody and they get the Holy Spirit, something happened that it was evident that they happened, whether they spoke in tongues or whatever it was they did at that time, they did something that indicated that they had received the Holy Spirit. Simon looks on and he says, hey, I could do this, you know. How much would it cost for me to have this power, to be able to lay my hands on these people and they would receive the Holy Spirit? Boy, Peter really launches into him here. I love this. Let's see. Peter said to him, notice it, thy money perish with thee. He says, you can't buy this gift with money. The gift of God cannot be purchased with money. You don't have any part or lot in this matter. He says, you've got the wrong idea. The gift of God may not be purchased with money. It has nothing to do with anything of that nature. So then he says, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. Pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven, because I perceive that you are still in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So it sounds to me like Peter is saying, hey, you know, you haven't really got it yet, you know. You made a profession, but nothing has happened, and now you've got the wrong idea here. You need to repent. You need to put your faith and trust in Christ and Him alone. Don't try to follow some other pattern. No. And so he says, you pray for me. And I know I read some stories about this and all this. They think this might be the same man that became later an enemy of the church. I don't know about that. I'm not sure. It doesn't say that here. I'm hoping that he had took Peter's advice, repented, and was saved. I don't know. But anyhow, you have to be careful about some people. People have the wrong idea and they go off and do things they should not do. But God won the victory over this. Peter and John would not allow him to continue on down that pathway. He had to repent. And that's important for all of us. And it says here in verse 12, many believed and were baptized. You know, before his ascension, the Lord Jesus commanded his disciples to preach the gospel to every person, baptizing all who believed and received the message of salvation. A baptism is a step of obedience for the believer. Once a person receives Christ as their Savior, then they are to be baptized. This is something that the Scripture is very clear on. And I have a quotation here. It says, the New Testament knows no such thing as an unbaptized believer. You find me one. It is non-existent. There are 10 instances in the book of Acts among all of the rest of the propagation of the gospel in that first Christian century, and there is no exception. There is no such thing as a believer not being baptized. And they did it right away, didn't they? Right? As soon as they were saved, they were baptized. And even Simon here was baptized. Whether or not he was truly saved, we don't know. And we know, of course, sometimes people claim to be Christians, and they may not necessarily be. They don't understand or something. Baptism doesn't add anything to your salvation, by the way. You're saved by the blood of Christ, right? He died for you, and he is the one who saves you. But he said, repent and be baptized, right? So if we're going to obey the Lord, then that's the next step, right? And it always comes in that order, too, by the way. Believe and be baptized. It doesn't say be baptized and believe. It's always that way. Anyhow, I'll leave it with that. So if we believe in him, we need to obey him in believer's baptism. And here, as I said about Simon, we're not sure about him as to what actually happened later on, but we can hope that he did repent and put his faith in Christ. Coming on down then, we find Philip doing his work. He's preaching there in Samaria. It's like a citywide campaign or something, huh? Here he is preaching and getting good results. A lot of people saved. This magician and so forth, he's been reached, and so all these other people. And he's doing a great job. So what happens? Down in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, to the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. So here he is, having great results in this citywide campaign, and the angel speaks to him and says, Philip, go down to the desert. Now that might seem like a strange thing to do, and yet Philip obeyed him. He arose and went, you know. It's not always easy to discern what God wants you to do. But I guess when an angel speaks to you, you should get the idea, right? And here he says the angel of the Lord is the one who spoke to him. Later on it talks about the Holy Spirit guiding him and leading him along the way so that he knew it was God who was telling him what to do. So here we find he obeyed God's voice and did what he said. He arose and went, even though he may not have understood what it was all about. But then he goes on to explain it here in verse 27. A man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He's the one who had charge of the treasury. He had come up to Jerusalem to worship, it says. It sounds like he was probably a Jewish proselyte or someone very interested in the Jewish religion, had come up to Jerusalem to worship there and now was returning home down through this desert area, traveling down back down to Egypt and on down to Ethiopia. And as he was sitting there, he was reading this scroll from Isaiah the prophet. And you know, as we see what the scripture he was reading, it's evident that it's from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. That particular portion that describes the Messiah and what he went through in going to the cross and dying for us. And this man, of course, didn't understand it. It's something brand new for him. Here he's sitting there in the chariot reading this scroll, this prophet, and the Holy Spirit this time, it says, verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near, join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him. He heard what he was reading. And he said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, well, no. How can I unless someone shows me what he's talking about? I don't know who it's even talking about here. Is the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? He had no idea who it was. And so he went on to say, this scripture about the Lord Jesus, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. like a lamb, mute before his shearer. He opened not his mouth, and so forth, and talked about Jesus and what he had done for him. And Philip went on and explained to him. He said he took the scripture. I love this, where he says, Philip preached unto him Jesus. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, you say Jesus is in the Old Testament? I've been reading this book by this lady. It's her testimony. She's the editor for the Friends of Israel magazine now. But she grew up a Jewish lady and so forth and didn't know anything about it. And finally, she tells her story about this. She didn't know anything about the Old Testament. And then people witnessed to her, and she came to know the Lord Jesus as her Savior and has been serving Him for many years. But here, Philip took advantage of this scripture, and he says, okay, I'll come up and explain to you what it means. So they went on their way. And Philip is telling him about Christ and what he meant, what he did for them. And he is reading to him from the scriptures and explaining it. The Ethiopian listens carefully. And notice what it says here in verse 36. Verse 36. So they're traveling on down to the desert, and he says they come to a certain water. Now, there wasn't a lot of water right down in the desert, of course, but there was... Oh, my goodness. There I go. Anyway, we find here that they saw this water, and the Ethiopian eunuch says, what hinders me from being baptized? So Peter... There I go again, Peter. Philip! Anyway, Philip said, I must have explained to him, you know, you believe in Jesus and then you are baptized to show that you are going to follow him. You're going to be one that's changed and following after the Lord. And he must have explained that to him. Otherwise, I don't think this man would have even thought about baptism. He must have explained it, right? And so he says, okay, I'm ready to do this. He says, here's the water. What's hindering me from being baptized? And what does Philip say to him? Now, I know there's a little bit of controversy in some of the different versions and all this kind of thing, but I'm going to read from King James, and I believe it's right, okay? Here we are. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, if you really believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that He died for you on the cross of Calvary, all you have to do is receive Him and put your faith and trust and confidence in Him and then obey Him. Right? That comes after. And baptism is the first step of obedience for a believer. It should be. It's the first step that we take. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that this morning? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Is he your Savior? Amen. That's the most important thing in all the world. And so they stopped the chariot, got down, went, and it says both of them went down into the water, and both of them came up out of the water. So how was he baptized? I would say that was by immersion. Wouldn't you say that? I think that's what he's saying here. That they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and they both came up out of the water. And now this is a little bit strange, right? The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the Ethiopian, that the eunuch saw him no more. Wow. These were exciting days, weren't they? God was moving. You know, Philip was caught away and went on about his business. It says he ended up at Azotus and passing through, preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Okay, and then notice the eunuch, it says, he went on his way rejoicing. You know, this was a man that was seeking, wasn't he? He was searching for the truth. He was reading the scriptures, trying to understand what they were saying. And Philip explained it to him. He received Jesus as his Savior, and now his heart is filled with joy. Huh? Isn't that great? Rejoicing. And Philip goes on and ends up at Caesarea. And we know that that's where he stays. He sets up his home there. Because later on in the book of Acts, Paul and some of his company go and visit with Philip the evangelist. And he's still in Caesarea a number of years later. And it says he has four daughters that prophesy. He must not have had any sons, I guess. But he had four daughters, and they were sharing the gospel with others and carrying on the work of the Lord. So God was blessing in a very special way with Philip and his family. It's wonderful to see that his daughters were following in his footsteps and able to spread the good news about Christ. So Paul told Timothy at one of his times, do the work of an evangelist. This is what Philip was doing, spreading the gospel. And these other believers, as they went from place to place, spreading the good news of salvation. And Paul told Timothy, you do the work of an evangelist. Now Timothy was in charge of the churches, right? At Ephesus, I believe, and other places perhaps. But he was to do the work of an evangelist, spread the gospel. Philip here is a good example of what an evangelist is. He preached to the multitudes. He went from place to place telling the gospel story. He was willing to obey God and travel a great distance to reach one person who was seeking after God. But he was also careful to reach his own family and make sure that his four daughters knew and loved the Lord as well. As Christians, we need to be ready to do the work of an evangelist, spreading the gospel, witnessing, sharing with others, and helping people to know the Lord Jesus. Certainly that's something that we all can do if we will just take the opportunity. And the question is today, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, we would like to invite you to come to Him, put your faith and trust in Him. And if you've never followed Him in believer's baptism as a Christian, we would invite you to do that as well. This is what the Lord would have us to do, I believe. Invite people to come to Christ and to follow Him and be obedient to Him in baptism and in every other way that He would lead us. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for Your word to our hearts today, for this wonderful chapter. And we pray that You'll just continue to guide us and help us to be good witnesses for You. May we not be afraid. May we not be timid. Help us to speak forth the word of God with power from on high. And may Your holy will be done. We pray that we might see more people coming to Christ as Lord and Savior. And we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.